The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, and from verses 15 to 16. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you." Verses 15 to 16. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of all nations. Kings of people shall be from her." The second reading is from Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself and his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen."
He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Let us pray. Lord, you know our longings and our desires. But for you, you long for us to be your people. And you have given your Son and the Spirit to guide us and to help us. As we come to worship, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our minds and hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. As I was preparing for this service, I came across a YouTube from a group called themselves Disrupt Aging. And the video was talking about these questions: what do you mean by word old? Unfortunately, I tried to work it out here. It didn't work. It worked over there at home. And we have a little conversation with Philip so that Alan will help us, but it's only about 5 or 3 minutes to go. So I said, forget about the video. I think we have the real video here with us. We have experienced ourselves, and I want to ask that question, because the video, there was about 6 or 7 young people, maybe they're around age 35 down to 20. And they were asked the question, how do you see old people? What do you understand? Excuse me. What do you understand about old? What do you mean by word old? Let's think about it. I'm sure we all have our answers. I don't want to say what I'm thinking, but I would like us to see the demonstration that I saw on the video. They were asked, walk as if you see how the old people walk. Some were going like this. Some were going like this. Remember, these young people, 25 to 35. How do they tile the new telephone? One will come and say, these are the demonstration on the video. And then throughout these questions, they said, wait there, I want you to meet someone. And there were 155, 78, 55, 60, 68, 70, and 75. Five of them. Two of them were men, three of them were men, two were ladies. So the ladies teach, so they exchange teaching one thing for them for 2 minutes to show something that they like to do. So this young man that his respond. See, he thinks that old become at 50 and over. And so there was a lady came, and she was 55. So this 55 lady said to her, come here, and the young man teach him how to punch, cross here, and then up, and then do that. And then this 55 lady said, come here, I'll teach you. And there was a block of concrete, and they asked the young man, sit on it, stretch out your leg, hold your hand behind you, and then try to hold your legs. And this young man was going like this, like mad. And this 55-year-old lady came and sit on it, stretch the leg up, and then put her hand behind her head, and then slowly put her hand behind her legs and pull it to her chest, without moving around. And it was amazing to see that. After that experiment, they were asked the question. These young people, what do you think about old now? What is the age of the old people? Oh, maybe I mean old people will be from 80 to 90. So everything will change from 50 to 80 to 90. And most of them said, we don't see people now with their age. We don't see people who are walking or whatever the way they present themselves to us. We can't see it that way now. They call themselves redefining what age means. Today, we hear the story of Abram and Sarai. And this story, it talks about so many times, and we understand the story. But this is the third time God came to Abram. The first time he came, he was 75, and challenged him to leave his family behind and move away to a place he doesn't really know. So when he was 88, that's when Ishmael was born. And now it's 99, God came back to Abram. But not only to remind him of the promise, but to say, you will change your name. You change your name from Abram to Abraham. And Sarai will change from Sarai to Sarah. And there is significance there in this changing of names. Not only a promise of covenant, but the change of their names come with the promise. In the prayer that we pray this morning, sometimes names and identity become something that we are ashamed of. Not only for ourselves, but sometimes we look with some kind of judgment and prejudice when we see others with color and age or whatever disability they do have. So today, when I saw this video, it gave me something to think about in terms of our readings today. Daphne, she's one of the people there. She was 68. She was the one that teached another young girl with how to move without taking the name from a scarf. Just to move around like this, like she's dancing. And the young lady asked her, how long did you do this? I've done this for 30 years. 68 now, she's just crazily dancing with the scarf as if she's not 68. There's no problem at all. She done that with grace. The other lady, she was 70. She said, as long as I'm growing and learning, then age does not matter. George was 75. He said, when people start stopping, that's when they start getting old. I wonder about Abraham and Sarah, whether they stop their believing and journey with God, whether they stop thinking about God's promise. And that's why God keeps reminding them, the promise is coming. I'm changing your name to be Abraham and Sarah, because you're going to be the ancestor of many nations and kings come from you. Abraham and Sarah, there is nothing to be ashamed of. We know about the history of that kind of people. Being barren is something that you're not blessed by God. And maybe nowadays we see people, there is something wrong with them. We say, oh, God has been cursed you. I've been reading Job lately. Try to think about the relationship of Job and his friends And his friends accuse him that you have done something wrong. That's why God turn around and curse you. Take away your wealth. Take away your children. And now your body. And I always wonder, how can a loving God do that to such a man? The difficulties of things that happens when people getting old or disability or anything that goes wrong, that not only we feel uncomfortable ourselves, but somehow that kind of vision or the lenses that we wear, it's blur how we see the person, and we don't see the reality of that person that's struggling and need that support and care. But out comes the negatives, the put down, the struggle, as if it's something that God has put on them. I remember the story, two of my parishioners, when I early came to ministry. I think I've shared this before. I went to visit them. And as every time I walked into the room, this lady said to me, "I've been praying for 5 years for God to take my life away. I just sit there and quiet. I don't know how to respond. I understand that the age becomes something that it's burden to her. But I don't know what to say. So every time I go and visit her, this is the conversation is about her struggle because she doesn't know anything to do. I feel I can't really do anything. I feel unimportant. I can't contribute to the community." And then one day, I asked God, "Please help me to help this person. What am I going to say?" And as I walked in, she said to me, "You know, what do you think about this? God said, I answer your prayer when you pray in the name of Christ. 5 years now. How long do I have to wait for the prayer to be answered?" Then I said, "You know, I'm new in ministry. I really need support and care. I really need your prayers. Would you pray for me? When you remember me, would you pray for me? Our church, our people in the church, would you pray for them? And maybe your family, if you remember them, would you pray?" I came away that day, I thought, at least I give her an answer. The next time I pop in to see her, she said to me, "Thank you. Now I know that there is nothing stopping me from being useful in terms of serving and giving with my prayers. Although I can't read, I can't write." She was the one that used to write the cards, greeting cards, condolences card. Now she said, "I can pray to support and to care for people around me." I want us to hear that. How long do we wait for a burden that we carry? Maybe there is something that we carry that we don't really know that we carry ourselves. But somehow, myself, I sometimes think, being a Tongan, to be ashamed of. Because when I came over to New Zealand, I hear this word coconut. It hurts me. It hurts me when people say, "Hey, coconut." They choke saying that. But within me, I thought, I like coconut. And that one day, my friends said to me, "Hey, come on, coconut, let's play." And I said, "You know what coconut means? When you crack it, it's white inside. Its juice is so delicious. If you take the coconut, man, it's beautiful,
taste it one day, it becomes something that I'm proud of because I find something to say and say to my friends, it's a beautiful thing if you like. What I'm trying to say here, there are times there's something that we felt that it's a burden. And it's the same with Jesus' disciples. They came to follow him. And this reading comes after when Jesus came with his disciple and he said to them, what do you hear when people, what they say about me? What people say about me? Oh, Peter said, oh, they said you are Elijah. You are the prophet. You are Moses. And then he turned to Peter and said, but who do you call me? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And follow that, Jesus revealed to them, I'm going to die. The chief priests and the church will persecute me, and then they kill me. They put me on the cross. 3 days, I will rise up again. Peter just acknowledged that Christ is the living God, Son of the living God, turned around and rebuked him. No way. And then Jesus said to him, stand behind me, Satan. You have to deny yourself and take up a cross and follow me. Walking behind Jesus is not easy. It's not just a story. We have to keep quiet for ourselves. It's for us only. It's a story that we have to share. It's easy to be known as Christians, but it's hard to proclaim the good news of being a Christian. And that's, I think that's why Peter was afraid. He said, Jesus, no, you're not. You're not going to be persecuted. You're not going to be killed. You're not going to be on the cross. And Jesus said, stand behind me. If you want to follow me, you take up your cross and follow me. It's not easy to be Christ-like or walk behind Christ. Because the purpose of being with Christ, it's going to be persecution. It's going to be persecuted by those who don't believe in Christ Jesus. But today, there are so many things that we need to redefine ourselves. Not only that we see ourselves as we age and not able and become something that divide us, but something that we have to celebrate. I can't really remember the saying of the lady next door to me that we lived for some time before she passed away, but she talks about the value of being aged. She said to me, old is good, but something young is something. And I can't remember, but I remember that she's trying to say there's nothing wrong to be aged and old. It's something to celebrate and rejoice. For Sarai and Abram, there is nothing to be afraid of and feel that the covenant and the promise may not come. Follow in faith and trust. And the cost for today, the redefining of the disciples following Christ to deny ourselves and take up our cross, whatever cross that we face. As I hear Babati say, as long as I'm growing and learning, then age doesn't matter. When people start stopping that, when they start getting old. if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The words that I hear today, I hope it's something that we see things in a new light. We see things in a way that Christ has seen us, or God has seen Abram and Sarai, to change regardless of the age. We can see the barriers. The age, something that we can't. But it's something that there is more opportunity. There is more of ways to live and celebrate life. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, redefine the way we live and move and have our being by taking up our cross. The cross that we face today, it's nothing to the joy that we will have as we come to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.